So would it say that the ingredients for a successful marriage or family is that the Word of God must be first place and final authority in your lives and in your marriage? Amen? The second was that we said that, but what does it mean the Word must be first place and final authority? It means that you regard God's Word, you respect God. And when God says something, it is final to you. You don't ask for more evidence beyond what God's Word says. You have already believed God. Amen? The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So you know that He is, and so His Word is important to you. Now, if the Word of God is not important to you, then God will not regard you. I say it again. If the Word of God is not important to you, God will not regard you. God loves you, but He won't take you seriously. He takes you as seriously as you take His Word. In fact, God can't help you much without His Word. The Bible says He sent His Word, and it healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Without the Word of God, you can't do anything. Jesus said, without Me, you can do nothing. Without the Word of God, there's nothing. God does everything according to the counsel of His own will. Everything. When God wants to redeem someone, He speaks a word. Everything He does is does it by legislation, by speaking a word. When the earth was destroyed and God came to recreate the earth, when He came, He spoke words. Hallelujah. God rules His kingdom by His words. Then His Spirit goes in and does what the Word says. Hallelujah. The angels of God hearken unto the voice of His Word, His command. Praise the Lord Jesus. So the Word of God must be the rule of law in your home and in your life. So if you're about to do something and you hear the Word of God, and it tells you to go in a different direction, you ought to have self-control and stop and do what the Word of God says to do. Hallelujah. If you don't regard God's Word, God will not regard you. But when God starts with us, God establishes a relationship with us through His Word anyway, before He starts exercising authority. We're going to discuss that when we come to discipline in the home. Amen? Number two is that marriage must be Christ-centered and kingdom advancement-driven or focused. You must jointly seek the kingdom of God and seek to honor and to serve the Lord in all things, making sure you're encouraging each other in the things of God. Now, without this vital element, your marriage will be unprofitable to God and His kingdom. Number three, we said, as part of actually number two, but we gave it a separate number because it's so important, both your family or you as a believer, being the one who is the only one that has gotten saved, yet in your family, or if you're the head of the family, the man, take your family to church. Identify a local assembly full of the Holy Ghost with the doctrine of Christ where you're going to attend. Being in church is vital. The Christian life was not designed to be lived in isolation. You have to live it according to the rules of the Word of God. And one of it is that we should not forsake the gathering of ourselves together. Not just because of the law, no. Because that's where you get to go to hear the principles of the kingdom of God. That's how you get to learn about how to live the life that God has called you to. Because not everything is healthy to the believer. You can actually destroy yourself if you're living like the world. Because things will be invited into your life that are capable of destroying the person's life. And we can't mix principles. We can't mix the principles of the world with the principles of Christ. Or take of the old without tampering it with the wisdom of God and use it in the new. If we do that, the Bible says that we have an old piece of cloth and a new one, and there's going to be a tear, and it will tear up the clothes, and they will not be, or you put new wine in an old wine skin. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the reason we find that God says to always be in the gathering of the saints is, one, to hear the word of faith, words that will build your faith in Christ. Two, is that you will hear warnings, how to guard yourself. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, the Bible tells us there, it says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." It says, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." And in Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 23, it says to us, glory be to God, it says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." How are we going to do that? It's because our faith is continually being fed with the word of God. Number four, we talked about loving one another. Love is a vital part of the family. Actually, God set up the family to be a love nest, a place of protection. Hallelujah. A place of mutual care for one another. That's what the Bible says, that God places the solitary in families. He puts you in a family where people can ask after you. If you have certain situations, your family will come. Somebody's in court, the family shows up, they sit beside you. It does something. You don't know what it does. God forbid that you're in that kind of place. And people came. It's good to have family. And let me say something about your biological family and your spiritual family. You know, your biological family, regardless of what they look like or who they are, remember this thing. You did not pick your siblings or your parents. God chose those for you. So there's a reason why you're in that family. And if you're saved, don't abandon them. Just say, well, they're not saved, they're darkness, you know, and all of that. No, pray for them. Love them enough to pray for them, for their salvation. Talk to them about Jesus. When situations come up, lay the counsel of God on the floor. You know why I say so? Because it is the truth. And you can't run away from the truth. So you get all those things in your home. Let there be love, so much more love, so much care for one another, praying for one another, loving one another. Amen. It is love that makes us teach people how to live the life of God. It is love that helps us that we apply discipline where it is necessary. Love is not without discipline. You know, some of us like to climb on the camel's back of unconditional love to live recklessly. Now, God's love requires that we listen to him, that we honor him, that we keep his commandments. The Bible says this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. You see, God is one person. He's love, but he's also holy. He's one person. God does not stop being holy when he's operating in love. He works the same. He's, He's saying in him there is, God is light. In him there is no shadow of turning, no variableness. But he's patient with us. Amen? So it also applies in the home. Especially in blended families, don't come there and say, this, they're her kids. So whatever they want to do, I don't have any authority over them. They can do whatever they want. You're insincere with yourself, and what you're doing is wrong, and God is going to hold you responsible for whatever happens to them. Now, there was something that I said I wanted to talk about, and I'm talking about it advisedly, as it were. I want to say it because it's out there. Okay? And I believe it could have been avoided. First is that before you start disciplining, you got to come into a home and know the people, and they know you, and you show love and be fair to all. Amen? As long as law is not equitable, what you have is discrimination. Hallelujah. And people are always going to be dissatisfied with that kind of thing. They're going to be dissatisfied. I'm going to say it again. Before you can exercise authority, there must be what? Relationship. In fact, before God starts telling you, husbands, love your wives, you must belong to him. See, God loves the unbeliever, the sinner. He loves everybody. But he gives you the opportunity to make a choice for him. It's only when you make a choice for him, he's not going to say, don't forsake the gathering of ourselves together. He doesn't talk to the world and say, don't forsake the gathering. No, they're doing their stuff. If they continue, yes, they will go to hell like that. But his children, he has authority. So he's talking to his children. And he said something in his word that is vital. He said concerning the one that does not know him, what are you doing that you're taking my word in your mouth? He said, but unto the wicked, God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? There must be relationship before you start claiming right and authority and stuff like that, and exercising authority. Okay, so if you come into a blended family, one of the things you do first is to create a relationship, not just the legal relationship, but a vital relationship, so that people can accept you before you start exercising authority. Now, that is not to say that they are allowed to insult your spouse. No. But you can't tell them to go out there and guarantee your spouse. They don't know your spouse. Say, but everybody knows it. They don't know him. You see, to say they know him because they hear of him is different from we interact with him and we can tell his character. You get what I'm saying? We are now saying this is what we believe about this person. You must, in love, not do anything that would destroy the relationship between your spouse and their children and his or her children. Take the blame. But don't do anything to destroy that relationship. The reason is that that person is permanently tied to the spouse in a way that you can't do away with it. So you have to be very careful about such relationships, about managing them. I know this is America. Everybody just gets up and does what they like, but we're in Christ. It makes us different. Love says that I'm going to make sure that everybody's comfortable within the ambits of the Word of God. Not like I'm making everybody comfortable. Somebody wants marijuana, I buy it. The person, no, I ain't going to do that. They know who you are, that you're a Christian. You have your standards. Your Christian credentials are important. So you have some level of trust. You know, trust is earned. You have some level of trust with everybody when they meet you. So it takes time to build relationships. It takes the wisdom of God to know when to back off. Because if you don't back off at that time, it will destroy many things. Are you listening? It will destroy many things. And what it will destroy, it will cost you so much more to fix it. Because people are now slinging things at each other. Slinging things at each other. Words are like eggs. Once you drop them, you can't gather them again. The only thing that can happen is that you're asking for forgiveness. Some words are better not said at all. Words build relationships. Words destroy relationships. People go to war because of words. So be careful when you're in that kind of, if, you know, I don't pray that you're in that kind of situation, but if you're in that kind of situation, because a lot of blended, you know, potential blended families in America, when you get there, walk in the wisdom of God. Walk in the love of God. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Because if because of you, that relationship is damaged permanently, and we're talking about godly people now. We're not talking about, you know, somebody's, you know, shooting up in the house and all of that. That's not what I'm talking about. One of the things that you got to do is to make sure that they know you have their best interests at heart. They know what you're doing is for their good. You know, there are people who rebel against you, but they know what you're doing is for their good. While they're rebelling, they will be rebelling with not as much fire. They're just like, you just got here. Why are you telling us what to do? But let's go. It's for your good. And after a while, they'll start doing these things with you willingly. You treat everybody equally. You love everybody the same. Don't do things for one person and then leave the others out. We talked about love, amen, and exercise of authority and discipline. It has to be equitable. It has to be such that people can tell what will happen if somebody did a particular thing. That nobody's going to be happy with you and all of that. Now, encourage one another with kind and uplifting words. Acknowledge each other's virtues or good deeds. By so doing, you cause your spouse to do better. If you don't acknowledge when somebody does the right thing, when you complain about doing the wrong thing, there's going to be this impression that you're always looking out for something wrong. And that should never be there. Praise the Lord Jesus. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. It says, two are better than one, talking about you helping one another, because they have a good reward for their labor. If they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he had not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, they will have heat. But how can one be warm alone? Number 6, be willing to acknowledge and to ask for forgiveness when you are wrong. Because some people do everything, and if you're the sister and that's what you're doing, you know, you're trying to, you know, massage his back, maybe he likes that. And instead of saying you're sorry, say, that's my way of saying that I'm sorry. That's not true. Say it. Amen. and be willing also to forgive when they ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is a debt owed that was written off. Sometimes when the banks are writing off your debt, they're not happy with you, are they? But they've written it off, and that's it. They give you a letter, say, no debt. But it doesn't matter. They've given you the letter, shake his hand real good, and walk away. Number 7, be reasonable. Be humble, mutually submitted to God's word. I know that was part of the first one. Amen. Be reasonable with your spouse. Be reasonable. I know you're an authority, but be reasonable. Amen. There are times when they're not able to do something, step up to the plate and do something. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you're a team. You're playing for the team. You're not playing so that you lose just because you want to show how tough you are. All right? That's what the Bible says. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. You know, there are times when people mess up royally and God comes there, and what you're expecting that the Lord will say isn't what he says. Hallelujah. Be reasonable. Consider one another and do things that encourage one another. We always have to be reasonable, even with your children. Sometimes your children will bring the word of God to you. They bring the word. The word you're teaching them, they'll bring it to you at an appropriate time. But daddy, this is what the word says. If you were wrong, don't use daddy authority over it. Because you'll be teaching that child to be insincere.